Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's The Hump. It is March 12th, 2025. We got Jimmy Van here just sitting there. Looking around in his little glasses, his little hat. Look at it.
Little hat, looking around.
His little wired earbuds, like it's 2011.
You know what? They were free, Sean.
Or yes. You need free, for sure. For sure. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. I know I say that all the time, but I can't tell you guys how important that is to overcome the YouTube algorithm issues that we face all the time, because we throw everything on this wonderful channel. We got interviews, event footage, clips, news shows, review shows, and starting, I think I'll probably launch it next week. Jimmy, in the very room that you are, there are a lot of LJNs, and we did about, I think, 7 episodes on those, on Poppy figures, Remco Matt Manias, and the like. So we got a new series coming to Fightful. If anybody wants to sponsor it, hit me up. But Jimmy, yeah, we got a little bit of work done a couple weeks ago.
Yes, yeah, you weren't here last week, so I was talking to Alba about this. So Sean came to Canada. I shouldn't say came to town because I don't live in Toronto anymore, but he came to Canada.
I mean, I did come to town. I did.
Yeah, he did, but he came for Elimination Chamber. He made the 1-hour trek to my new house in the sticks in Canada. And we filmed all kinds of stuff. And now I should say this for anybody that might not be aware. The first one that's coming out was us debunking that lying carny Matt Cardona for claiming that I spent a bunch of money on a naked Miss Elizabeth LJN prototype. So wait for that video where I tell the truth. It's a good one. You'll find it entertaining. I think I'm going to send it to him after this podcast, sure, just to take a peek. But that should be out next week, so check it out.
Well, here's some good news. I don't usually promote tier 2 of Fightful Select. It's just something that once you subscribe to Fightful Select, if you see, you kind of want. But I post a lot of early access stuff up there. So all of our interviews go up on Fightful Select tier 2, $10 a month, earlier than anywhere else. I also am putting these episodes up as I edit them as well. So if you are on tier 2, you can go watch this episode right now over there. Check it out. But by God, if you're here right now, this show basically exists to answer your questions. So get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. If you're like, what the hell are those? It's this little dollar sign on youtube.com/Fightful. Or you can go to humperchats.com, whether you're watching on Twitter, X, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, any of that stuff. We've got humperchats.com. That's humperchats.com. And we have a humper chat from this morning. This person sent this at 8:45 a.m., which is one of the great benefits of humper chats. It said, Hollywood ending was magic. Even Mariah's champagne bottle shot to Tony's box made perfect sense. Tony says she struggled with a torn labia the last few months. So after that, I reckon it's shredded now. Psychology to the most extreme degree. But Jimmy, first off, I agree with that. Fantastic match. Do you think it should have closed AEW Revolution?
Knowing what happened in the main event, which was shit, and I want to ask you about it in a minute because Christian was made to look like an idiot. So I'll ask you about that in a minute. Knowing what they had planned for the main event, yes, I think that Tony Storm and Ryan May should have main evented. When the match was over, they had the end on the screen, which obviously matches Tony's character, but it would have been apropos for the pay-per-view too. So knowing what they were doing in the main event, yeah, I think they probably should have. Maybe you start with Moxley, or sometimes in the old days, you know, WWE, they'd put the world title match in the middle sometimes. But yeah, knowing what they were going to do with that main event, they should have had Mariah and Tony go last for sure.
Yeah, I think that considering the show was in LA, it would have been a great Hollywood ending to have the end. I think they should have had two big curtains close across the stage right after that happened as well. I think that would have been a perfect pay-per-view ending, and you could have just had the Moxley match air right before that. We are in a period where, you know, a lot of people, like, for example, you hear Triple H say, women will main event if they deserve to be the main event. That match deserved to be the main event. Mm. It had more general interest in it than Moxley and Cope did. Like, that's it. Like, it's the hotter program.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of denial regarding that over the last 6-7 months within AEW, but that's the way that it is. Like,
I think Moxley's story might have been the least entertaining of everything on the show.
Yeah. And you admit,
maybe the exception of, like, say, Okada Brody, but otherwise, sure. Otherwise, there wasn't it. The Death Riders hasn't worked. I mean, let's be Jimmy, frank.
I think it's gotten better. I think it's gotten markedly better. But I look at an AEW show and listen, I know what I'm getting at this point. 12 matches, it's going to happen. But like Commander and Hologram on the pre-show, got no problem with that. In any market, you should be marketing a Lucha Libre match completely separate because they have found that that puts asses in seats. So got no problem.
Especially in LA. Especially in LA.
But like I have seen in various areas, like there will be a poster and it'll be like Lady Frost versus La Catalina. And it won't be like heavily AEW. It just says Lucha Libre on it. I think that's very smart to do. So no problem with that. But the Undisputed Kingdom against Shane Taylor Promotions, and they had Daniel Garcia in there. That should have just been a trios match or on Collision or on Dynamite. I understand having the big Boom AJ match on there. They did not need to have Okada and Brody King on the pay-per-view as much as I like Brody King. The Hurt Syndicate and the Outrunners is a Dynamite match if I've ever heard one. Mm. And what I would be doing if I was Tony Khan, which I'm not, I'd be going to people like the Hurt Syndicate, like Brody King, like Okada, like all these people and saying, you know, WBD pays us a lot of money. And it's important to have a championship week to hype up this pay-per-view that we're doing. Because, like, do you think that Rhea Ripley or Io Sky had a problem with their match, their title match being on Raw? I don't think so.
No.
Like, you need to do that. And then, as a result of that, instead of a 12-match show, you've got an 8 or a 9-match show. And
I agree, especially on a Sunday night.
On a Sunday night, yeah. Doesn't go until midnight.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more condensed. The crowd doesn't remember those lulls, and I think it goes a lot better. And the order, I think if they would have had a few less matches, it just distributed elsewhere, and Moxley Cope would have been earlier, yeah. I think people would be talking about this as among AEW's best shows of all time.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we've talked about before, is how many matches they have on shows, and yeah. The tribalists will always say, oh, you're getting your money's worth. And a lot of people will look at, say, what Hunter does sometimes, where he'll have 5 matches on a show, and they'll say, you want more than that. But maybe there's a happy medium. So instead of having 9, 10, 11, 12, if you don't want 5, maybe 6, 7, 8, I don't know.
With all the downtime on WWE shows, they could absolutely add another match and be fine.
They could, yeah. But going until midnight on a Sunday, like I live wasn't able to watch until the Tony Storm match, and I cut out before the end of Moxley Copeland because like I got to get up early in the morning.
Yeah.
So I just didn't feel like it. But yeah, there's got to be a happy medium there somewhere.
Yeah. And again, I think that it was a fantastic show. It was a great show. I think it is the second highest attended Revolution of all time, too, behind last year's, which you're not going to beat Sting. You're not going to beat that one out. But, I mean, listen, that's also very, very promising. They've got Dynasty coming up in a few weeks in Philadelphia. I think that one will end up doing very well as well. But I look at the direction and the trajectory that AEW is on, and it's very promising. It seems like back to their roots with the exception of the Moxley stuff.
So tell me about the Christian thing, because I know on Fightful Select you had a report about it. Why was that done like that?
They had pitched it last week. From what I understood, this is not to be aggregated, but I think they just wanted to get the contract done. And I don't know why it was instituted to begin with. It just seemed like a thing, But unless you differentiate it from WWE's, it is a clear ripoff of a thing that WWE has already done for 20 years.
For sure. 100%. Yeah.
And to me, AEW is strongest when they take something, you know, it can be inspired by WWE, like the Royal Rumble. But then they're like, well, you know, we're going to do the Casino Gauntlet. And it took a while for them to really refine that. And then they made it theirs. And it's a thing that people are excited for. We got Cole Fool saying, I don't care how old he is. Christian should have won the title, even if he would have lost it on the following Dynamite. Good show, bad ending. I don't know, Cool Fool, if with the contract and with the Moxley element and the way that that run has gone, if there was a truly satisfactory ending for everybody. And by that, I mean fans as well, because there's a lot of fans that are just like, what is this story? What it?
If they're looking to get it to swerve, then why not have Copeland win, have Christian cash in on Dynamite, and then Christian is a transitional champion and Swerve gets it off of him in short order.
Here's what I say to that. Fuck that. Swerve should beat another top, top talent.
Well, now he has to. Now he better.
Yes. I don't like the idea of like, oh, we'll just go from here to here just to get it to him. Like, you win him in the ring, you lose him in the ring. The top talent can afford to lose. Will Ospreay's just fine right now. Losing was almost like his hobby last year. Like, he loved losing. Bryan Danielson, we joked that they were going to have to do a reverse Montreal screw job on him to get him to win the title because he liked losing so much.
Yeah.
If you're good enough, you can stay over. Yeah, you can absolutely stay over. We got a bunch of super chats and humper chats. David Camp had sent one early this morning. Look at that. 6:24 a.m. Says AEW's 37th pay-per-view event. Every single one of those shows was main evented by male wrestlers. Is 16 months of a strong build and a world championship on the line isn't enough to change that? What is? I completely agree. Like, at this point, we have seen probably two or three different shows, at least, where objectively women could have main evented that show. And women could have been the top match on the show. And I just don't see why 6 years in, we're not talking about this having happened yet. We're still talking about sometimes, almost exclusively, one Dynamite women's match per show. I know this is a battle that some of the WWE women are having, where they're saying, why do we have to fight for non-title singles matches that mean something, that have a story behind them? AEW doesn't have that problem, but they definitely have a, well, why the hell hasn't a big match like this main evented a pay-per-view type of thing? Now, it main evented Grand Slam, Jimmy, which is nice, but this should have main evented the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and again, given what they had planned for the main event, because Tony must have known that wasn't going to go over well, right? So, like, given when
I asked somebody 2 weeks before, I was like, hey, what's main eventing? They go, oh, it's Mox and Cope. Like, it was not a big deal. And I was like, well, clearly it should be something. Not even if not that, you could put Hangman and MJF on last and it would have went over better than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there were four or five matches that would have worked out better. New Lack City says, completely agree with you guys on Mox main eventing. 9-10 show still for me. Yeah, me too. Says, hearing all the talking heads trying to pump the Rollins cage match over Ospreay Fletcher, need to be slapped upside the head. So listen, I don't really engage in a lot of that, Jimmy. When somebody gets on a radio show, a podcast, and buries a match or anything like that, it's just that's why I don't tweet a lot of criticism or negative stuff about a show. It's not worth it. If you want to come listen to it, come to my podcast.
Have you noticed I don't do that anymore? Have you noticed that?
Good.
Yeah, because like you said, it's all you get. No, like even if you're trying to be constructive in your criticism, there's no winning. So I don't do it. I stopped.
Very rarely do I do that, because if people want to hear that from me enough, they'll come to my podcast. I've got plenty of them a week. But there's no winning there.
Let me say this as far as the cage matches go. It's apples and oranges. You can't compare them.
Exactly.
Because one of them is on pay-per-view. You have much more leeway on pay-per-view. I understand people are saying, well, it's on Netflix now. WWE's not going to do Buckets of Blood. I'm sorry. They're not. It's a different a company, it's just not going to happen. And they weren't going to be the same. Now, if I'm being honest, Sean, I didn't think either cage match was the greatest. And I understand that a lot of people are really putting over Ospreay Fletcher. I'll tell you why I didn't think either cage match for me as a wrestling fan was the greatest. It's because there was way too many kickouts for me. They kicked out of everything in both cage matches.
Yeah.
And so for me watching both of them, after a while, it almost becomes like a parody of wrestling after a while. Kicking out of everything.
Yeah.
So for me as a wrestling fan, I didn't think either one of them were as great as they're being pumped because too many kickouts.
I have a conversation with Scott D'Amore, head of Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling, that goes live tomorrow. And we talked about like some of the tribalism and how like angry people get specifically over wrestling. And like, Jimmy, I love the horror genre of movies. Really love them.
Old school or the newer ones?
It depends. I like reality-based stuff. I like something that I believe plausibly could happen to me. I like movies like Hush, Not Safe for Work. A lot of stuff like even Halloween is somewhat
reality-based.
More than The Fucking Conjuring, or more than
okay. I was thinking like Butterfly. Than, what's
here? Listen. More than the occult stuff that people lean into, more than ghosts and goblins and all that goofy shit. But I'm not going to go online when somebody says, "Man, I'm watching The Conjuring 2 and I really love it," and like scoff at them and make my entire personality disliking that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Paranormal Activity series. It was a little bit out of the realm of what I generally enjoy, but there was this film where they had, it was from the 80s. It was based in the 80s, and they put a camcorder on an oscillating fan, and it created this this suspense that I really loved. It was outside the box of what I normally like,
really,
but there were elements of it that I really loved. And still, I'm going to go watch Hush, that I think is the best horror movie I've ever seen, and think that it's better, but I can enjoy those other things. Then there are things like The Conjuring or movies like that that I looked at, and I'm like, man, I just can't get into it. I can't do it. But a whole lot of people like that.
Sure.
I'm not going to call them stupid. I'm not going to call them idiots or marks or any of those things.
Entertainment's subjective, man.
I don't like particularly gory movies either. But I'm not going to sit there and bury it as being horrible. There are some low-budget movies that I love and some that I think suck. But am I going to go and say, this stupid indie bullshit that we're watching? It is so weird. It's so weird.
Like I said, all entertainment is subjective. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan, but am I going to shit on Denise Salcedo? No, I don't care. Like what you like. I don't.
Also, yes, Halloween is far more reality based than a lot of stuff. Like, listen, buddy. A girl that went to my gym is currently on trial for murdering her mom.
I'm aware.
Chopping her up and cooking her. So yeah, I mean, listen, we've seen some shit out here. We've seen some shit. But get those super chats, get those humper chats in. WWE Hall of Fame tickets went on sale today. Cheapest is $283. They've effectively priced people out of that event. Not worth it to be at the back. Jimmy, this is about to face a swing because right now they really take pride in how much they charge for stuff. If yes. I were AEW, like last year I had always said, Jimmy, they should go to smaller, more intimate venues. Now, as long as they're selling the tickets to those intimate venues, that's fine. But another point that I brought up that I think they should do, they should make their tickets for AEW, for TNA, for anything else, so dirt cheap that you see them and you go, I can't possibly not go to that event. One of my favorite bands was in town a few weeks ago. It was like a few miles from my house. Didn't know until the day of. I got on like whatever ticket app that isn't paying us enough for me to say their name. And I saw the ticket. And it was like $8 before showtime. I showed up halfway through the set just because I was like, how could I pass up going to see this? That's what AEW should do to take some fans from WWE. People that are priced out of WWE events. Life is expensive in general. I was telling Jimmy my student loans right now that I still have to pay off. that shit is expensive just to have previously lived, much less live now. So if you're a family of four trying to go to a WWE show right now, paying for parking, paying for concessions, maybe a shirt, the tickets in general, the fees on top of the tickets, mm-hmm. it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars at least. Mm-hmm. So I would put myself in a position where I can create some new fans, maybe steal some fans and put asses in seats, Jimmy.
So I agree with you to a point. So I haven't followed AEW ticket prices, so I don't know how sure. expensive they are. The reason I'll agree with you to a point because AEW is not selling out. And yeah. so maybe if your tickets are too expensive, because again, I don't know, maybe you reduce them and you'll draw a better crowd. But at the same time, there you get to a point you don't want to, because you know, I always talk about precedence. If AEW is doing, because I don't know what they're selling their average ticket for, $20, it's hard to go back. You know what I mean? So it's about making sure that if you reduce it, it's to a level where you can, you know, go back up when things say swing the other way and you're more popular without everybody hating on you. But if AEW is still, remember we've talked about this before where they would start out more expensive and then before the show, they're doing heavily discounted ticket pricing to get people in the door. Yeah. That's where they are pissing people off. If the price yes. is still really expensive, then they need to cut them down, but I just haven't followed it.
Well, I mean, from our business, like one of the things was I fought the paywall tooth and nail, but I said, let's at least make it to where if somebody was ever willing to pay for wrestling news, they'd look at our service and go, that is so inexpensive. That's the one that I want. It was $5. Now it's $6 a month. FightfulSelect.com. But Jimmy, I've got a way that some people can save a little bit more money. I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you. So guys, I've mentioned this, but when Raw airs live in the UK, I will be doing our live post show at like 5:30, 6:30 p.m. on Mondays. Very excited for that. If you guys want to watch SmackDown as it airs live, NordVPN.com/Fightful allows that to happen because Netflix has the rights overseas. In the States, they're still going to air it at the same time. But if you want to watch that much earlier, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Just log in with your Netflix account. Netflix is remarkably chill about VPNs. They just want your subscription. That's it. They don't care what country you're in. But Meat Normus says, did you all see the Leafs? Benoit throws Superman punch.
I did.
Start a hockey fight. He promptly got his ass whooped with that Bobby. What's the worst wrestling move to use in a real fight? So Jimmy, some color on the Leafs situation for those who don't know. Do you have any?
Not really. It was Simon Benoit is a player that plays for the Leafs. Got into a fight. I can't remember who. I just saw the clip. I can't remember who they were playing, but he literally kind of jumped up and threw the punch and. There's an image from it that was all over Twitter because in the image, he's like off the ice, like a skater off the ice. And so that went viral. And so a lot of people are saying that he threw a Superman punch. In terms of the worst wrestling move to use in a real fight, Canadian Destroyer.
Possibly. So here's the thing. I have been around MMA, all that stuff for a very long time, pro wrestling for a very long time. When I got trained, it was in catch wrestling, which is the foundation of pro wrestling. It's quite literally pro wrestling moves that work in real fighting. And you'll often see so many people on the internet say, oh, this flippy stuff doesn't work. That's funny. I've watched Anthony Showtime Pettis run up off a cage and kick somebody in the head. I have watched a UFC fighter do a lion salt.
I remember. And he got he got the tap out.
Yes. I've seen all that stuff. What I've never seen work is a rear chin lock with no hooks in, just standing there like this for 2.5 minutes. And it's so funny because I never see all the people that say, this is unrealistic. Here's a little secret. It's all unrealistic. It's not a real fight. Otherwise, people would just watch MMA. That's you know what's unrealistic? An open hand chop to the chest. You know why they do that? Because punches are supposed to be illegal in pro wrestling because they knock each other out, they break hands, all that stuff. That's why the chop even exists. The mere fact that anybody is even doing a chop in 2025, if punches aren't outlawed, doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
It's for the sound.
It's for the sound. That's it. Yeah. But from a kayfabe perspective, doesn't make any sense. I will go with something as simple as a rear chin lock with no hooks in. Now, if you take your foot, you place it over a hip, that helps keep that person from turning into your body and then dumping you on your head, or getting up to a knee, turning into your body, rolling you back on your shoulders, getting the pinfall. Like, I would see that stuff. There'd be people who would come to train with us. They do pro wrestling training with us and want us to implement catch wrestling. And every time they'd slap on a rear chin lock, I would watch people on our team just take their back immediately and like put them in what's called rest position or roll them on their shoulders. Little things like that that became pro wrestling tropes that people just think as normal are some of the most unrealistic things that I've ever seen. Also, while we're on the subject of unrealistic stuff, one of my pet peeves in wrestling is when you have somebody knocked down. You've seen this a million times. You don't realize it, Jimmy. The shoulder block, and they just fall down on their back, right? And then the person who did the shoulder block just runs to the ropes. And then the person on the ground does the, now you got to jump over me thing.
That's just the classic spot. Yeah.
What move was the person doing to begin with? Why did they need to hit the rope? Were they going to do a rolling thunder?
And then after they jump over him, then there's a leapfrog next.
Of course.
They do that all the time. That's a classic spot.
The leapfrog makes sense if it's a smaller person trying to avoid the momentum of a bigger person. But I'm like, okay, bam, shoulder block. Then you look at him and you go, yeah. Then you hit the ropes. What move are you doing? What are you doing? You doing the people's elbow in your first sequence? What's going on here? Meat Normus got me hot. Listen, he's got
apparently,
me mad.
Apparently.
It drives me nuts, Jimmy. Oh, it drives me nuts.
There are things with wrestling that drive everybody crazy. I hate it when somebody does a dive onto a group and the guy in the group that wasn't touched bumps.
So, fun story. So, my catch wrestling team would often serve as extras for matches that we were in because I would team with my catch wrestling coach. I would wrestle my catch wrestling coach. And we did a spot where I did a little jump off the top rope onto the guys on my team. And one of the guys didn't get hit. He had never done a lick of pro wrestling. I was so proud of this man because he didn't bump.
Good.
What he did was he looked around and he's like, I can't believe this shit just happened. Like, that's what he did. I was like, man, why? That's why sometimes you probably need an outside eye to occasionally look and say, why would I do this?
But isn't it common sense? Like, why do they feel the need to do it? Like, they must be told by the producers. I don't know.
It's like, okay, just go somewhere else for that. Just don't sell it. Just be like, let me get out of this chaotic situation.
Right. Yeah. It's one of the things I really, really hate. And both the major companies, it happens.
Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says, do you see Collision moving so pay-per-views can go to Saturday? That has nothing to do with it. So I'll give you a little bit of a behind the scenes here. When it's NFL season, they don't do Sunday pay-per-views. They do Saturday. I wouldn't doubt that Collision moves to Thursdays once the NBA rights are gone from WBD, though. That's what I expect. Does Nick Khan involve in WWE creative? I think he probably throws some things their way. Who do you think the wild card is for the tournament tonight, says Hannah Hune. I don't know this, but I would imagine Speedball Mike Bailey and or Josh Alexander fit pretty well there, Jimmy.
Interesting. Yeah, I've been waiting on both of those guys, eh? Interesting. I'm curious to see what Josh does. Josh is a, I don't
you
know.
Said an A because they're Canadian.
Yeah, Canadian. I don't know Mike Bailey, but Josh I've chatted with a few times. He's a good dude. So I'm curious what he could do.
Speedball is some, they've been working on visas for both of them from what I understand, but yeah. New Lack City says, any news on Eddie Kingston's IG post about AEW? Am I wrong to think that if they had a huge heel turn like Cena's, only to not have him on TV for a couple weeks after, they would have gotten destroyed? AEW would have 100% gotten destroyed if they had something the level of a John Cena heel turn and then did not follow up with it on TV and have him on that show. That is for sure something that would have happened.
I think it depends. So I think if it's a full timer, then they'd get destroyed. Because it's John Cena who did the Royal Rumble, then did nothing until Elimination Chamber, because everybody knows he's filming movies, it's different. Now, AEW doesn't have anybody like that, unless MJF was off doing Happy Gilmore 2, and then comes back 1 week, does something shocking, and then you don't see him for a month because he's filming Happy Gilmore 2. The crowd would be accepting of that. But if it's a full-timer, yeah. If it's a full-timer, I'm with you.
And the Eddie Kingston post, I think that's him building up a little bit of hype for his return. That's what I believe. Mike Booble says, I was going to ask a question, but you already know the ending before we do. So what's the point? But seriously, SRS, did you enjoy the Blair Witch Project?
Yes, that's the one I was going to mention, the Blair Witch Project.
So I didn't hate it. Didn't hate it. I'm not big into like occult and witchcraft elements. I like a lot of home invasion movies. I like a lot of, I can't believe this shit is happening, but it could happen to me type of thing. That being said, I really like found footage movies. So okay. For example, God, what is it? Cloverfield. I like Cloverfield. It's pretty solid, even though it's
the alien one, right?
The alien one. Yeah. Like I can handle that because by God, if we're the smartest creatures out there, we're fucked. But I like a good found footage movie. I'm more like, if you've ever watched Creep or Creep 2, both incredible movies. I prefer those over something like the Blair Witch Project. But what I really admire about the Blair Witch Project and that genre in general is being able to take something that has a budget of less than $1 million and making $250 million off
right,
of it.
Right.
The art in making something out of almost nothing is something that I really admire. Because listen, that's what I've done for a lot of my career, is try to take what I have and maximize it and get people interested in it. And I think that Blair Witch Project is maybe the best example of that.
Then they do a sequel and they throw a lot more money at the sequel and it doesn't do nearly as good as the first one.
That being said, like The Ring isn't a traditional movie that I would like, but I loved it. Thought it was great.
Somebody mentioned The Purge. My wife loves The Purge.
I love The Purge too.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah. Lord Peter says Revolution highlights Mariah, Tony, Osprey, Fletcher, Nigel thinking Leslie Jones was Swerve's grandmother, or it was Nana's grandmother. I think it was.
Let me ask you this question. Whenever there are celebrities at a show that are going to be interviewed, do they do any kind of prepping? Is there any discussion beforehand?
There is.
There is.
And there was. I don't know why that woman said what she said.
Okay. The Queen of the Ring actress, and I apologize, I don't know her name. I couldn't believe that she said that on the actual wrestling show.
They didn't script her, obviously. Yeah. They thought she's a normal actress. She can just handle this, and then she could not handle it whatsoever. Ryan says, feel like you haven't confirmed Julia's injury. Sorry if wrong. Do you think Julia faces Mako at Stand and Deliver? I think that would be a really, really great retirement match for Mako Satomura. I have not confirmed Julia's injury. I do not know if she's got an injury, so I can't speak to that. I really can't. I do think that her facing Mako at Stand and Deliver makes a lot of sense. But that episode of NXT last night was one of the greatest episodes of NXT I have ever seen in my entire life. If you guys have not watched that, that was a show. You had the TNA versus NXT element of it. You had a title for title match. You had Jordan Grace against Roxanne Perez, who seems to be poised for the main roster. Yeah. It was an insane show. They killed it last night.
The venue looked great.
It did. It looked.
Hey?
See, that method is working really well for NXT as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked really great. I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I've only seen Julia and Stephanie so far.
Yeah.
But the main event was great. The finish, the confetti, the whole thing, the presentation.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray, and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And I was curious about Julia. So I assume Roxanne, like you said, she's headed to the main roster. She's already in Elimination Chamber. So she's probably headed to the main roster. But what about Julia? What do you think the plan is going to be for Julia now that she's lost the title?
Probably just get her reps in, make sure she's comfortable in America. And I would imagine she'll end up on the main roster probably by Mania weekend next year. I would expect her on the on the main roster. Chris says, could it be possible that Mercedes is the first women's main event on pay-per-view reserve for when she goes for the world title? If she does, she shouldn't. She's more than capable of carrying a main event, but like, I'm sorry, but that thing waits for no one. Mm. It should be appropriately handed to the program that most deserves it. And I felt like Toni Storm and Mariah May first, or they most deserved it. There's a lot of misconceptions about Mercedes, like having creative control. She doesn't. There's a lot of stuff like her refusing to lose. She hasn't. In fact, she on the fly, when she knew she was hurt, said, Willow, you got to beat me because I'm going to be out for a long time. I respect that a lot, but I've not heard of anything like that. Seeing Jimmy's shirt, is he becoming a Bengals fan? I doubt it. is it orange and black?
It's orange and black, but my kids got me this because they know I'm a fan of the Edmonton Oilers, and it was orange.
Okay.
So
okay.
My children got me the shirt for that reason.
Shotgun Sean, is Tony Khan overestimating Cope's star power? Well, based on the digital numbers, there is still interest in him, and he's one of those guys like Rey Mysterio, like guys like that, that athletes and casuals, they are familiar with him because a lot of the people who grew up watching wrestling now grew up watching Cope wrestle.
I guess the problem is if you put Cope on the marquee, do the casuals know who the hell that is?
Probably not. But I mean, once they see him, they see him.
Yeah.
Corey says, hear me out. Christian could have won the title during Revolution. Swerve could have taken it from him at Dynasty. Then Darby can take it from Swerve since there's some history between three. But we really want to go drop the title at Revolution, drop the title at Dynasty, and then what? Drop the title at Double or Nothing? You want to do that three straight pay-per-views? Now, I don't have a problem with that, generally speaking. That happened in the Attitude Era all the time. But to me, if Christian wins that title and Swerve gets it back, it minimizes it a little bit. Nothing against Swerve or Christian. It's just we see the thing. Like, if Christian could have won that title, then why can't Swerve just win it from him? What's keeping Mox from losing to Swerve?
I also think that there's, I also think we've seen the benefit of longer title reigns.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Roman had the belt for how many years? And when he lost it to Cody, that was one of the greatest finishes in WrestleMania history. Now Cody's had it for a whole year and he's not losing to Cena, I don't think. Do you think he's losing to Cena, Sean?
Yeah, I do.
You think Cena's going to get 17 from Cody? Okay.
I do.
But again, if Cody had have just won the title a month ago, there'd be a little bit less into him losing to Cena. He's had it for a year.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little different.
Thomas says, what's up with the recent activity from the WWE ID Twitter account? Seems like basic promotion to me. Yet some people think that WWE talent are having trouble getting booked. They're not having trouble getting booked. It's just the bookings haven't increased to the level of which many thought it would. However, if you are signed to WWE ID, you're making like, what, $30,000, $40,000 a year just to do the same stuff and work LFG and things like that. So if you're getting, I mean, that I cannot tell you guys how important that is to an indie wrestler, because that takes them from needing a day job to not needing a day job. And that changes your diet. It changes your workout schedule. It changes the bookings that you have to take compared to the ones that you can take. A lot of that stuff, an extra $30,000 to $40,000 a year goes a very long way.
So here's an obvious question, and I don't know if you know the answer to this. Have the rates for these wrestlers increased since the WWE connection?
Some of their rates increased. Yeah, like their asking prices.
Their asking prices.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, some of their asking prices did increase. I did confirm that for sure.
Are they worth it? Like, are these people known in any way, aside from the fact that they can put WWE, you know, on their
website?
Some
of them, I mean, there were a number of them that I had never heard of until WWE ID tagged them. But
right.
If WWE sees something in them, then it's clearly somebody that they have their eye on.
No, but yeah, but I don't mean WWE. I mean, is it worth it to an independent promotion to pay a premium for somebody that you might not be able to sell extra tickets for?
So let's say their asking price increased by $100. It is hard for me to believe that just having a WWE ID tag on someone sells even three or four more tickets.
Right.
Hard for me to believe that. Was last night Roxanne's NXT swan song. It should be. I'm ready for her to go to the main roster and work with Bayley. Absolutely. Shotgun Sean says, will Tony Khan be made aware of negative fan feeling towards a main event? AEW is doing great. Apart from Mox main event scene, Reign of Terror. He's aware. Like, he knows of it. Because
he's all over social media. He knows.
He is. He's all over social media. Less than he used to be. But I remember when the rumors that Darby was just going to come back and win the title from Mox came out, he had told people, like, he had seen that and had told people that is not a set in stone plan. So he is aware of that stuff. It's not like it's a secret or anything like that.
You know what I read on the news today?
What's that?
This isn't related, but it's kind of related. The Vancouver Canucks hockey team in the NHL.
Yeah.
Apparently have people on staff who on a daily basis comb social media for criticism about the Vancouver Canucks, and they send it to the general manager of the team and to management. And I saw that and I thought I think that's ridiculous, but that's apparently what the Vancouver, if anybody in the chat's a fan of the Vancouver Canucks, how do you feel about that? Apparently they're combing social media, sending the criticism to the general manager. I don't see the point. And the Canucks have been one of the laughing stocks of the league with some of their managerial decisions. So
what I encourage you all to do whenever I say something you all don't like, tag Jimmy Van on Twitter. Because let me tell you guys, that always works, and he definitely cares a lot.
Respond to all of it.
Yeah, whenever you tag Jimmy Van and you call me an embarrassment and say that I'm ruining Fightful and all this stuff, he definitely gives a shit about it. It's something he brings it to me on Twitter, not Skype anymore, because that's
every day.
Away.
Every day
on Slack, he messages me and he says, Sean, you got to clean it up, buddy. That's what he does every time. Speaking of one of those things that I said that pissed people off, Alex agrees with me, though. Reminder that One Headlight by the Wallflowers, Jacob Dylan, is a better song than anything Bob Dylan ever did. Jimmy, your thoughts on this? Because I am staunch in this opinion.
I don't know that song.
You know that song.
If I hear it. But like, listen, just based Jimmy, on hearing the name, I don't know it.
I'm willing to get us demonetized. You know this song. There is no way you don't know this song.
I got a Bob Dylan story for you.
Well, that's cool. I've got a Jacob Dylan song for you.
Okay. Yep, I know it. Yeah. As soon as I heard that, I know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely know.
Way better. To me, one of the greatest rock songs ever written to me.
He's a different beast. Have you seen the documentary on Netflix about We Are the World?
Yeah, I hated it.
The documentary?
Yeah, it sucked.
Okay, so did you see how Bob Dylan was in there?
Yeah.
And he didn't know what to do. Bob Dylan's like, you want me to do what? You want me to like perform this poppy song that like Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie wrote?
Yeah.
Like, because his style is just completely, Bob Dylan is a type of performer that you love him or you hate him. There's not a lot of in between.
I'm going to save you guys the trouble of watching that documentary. Here it is. We all got together for this cause. And then this person showed up and we couldn't believe it. And then this person showed up and we couldn't believe it.
But they booked it during like the Grammys.
Hey, can you believe that this happened? Whoa. That's the whole documentary. It's crazy, man.
That's not really the whole documentary.
That's the whole documentary. Anybody that's watched it, drop a fruit emoji in the chat if I'm right. That's the whole documentary.
They booked it during the Grammys. So they knew these people were going to come after the award show.
So fucking what? Oh, they booked it during the Grammys.
On
so
purpose.
Couldn't go do coke afterwards. My bad, guys.
Well, they knew they'd be in town, right? Obviously. That's why they did it.
Of course they did. Listen, I am of the generation of What's Going On instead. That one was a better version. That was way better than We Are the World.
What's Going On? What's that?
The Marvin Gaye cover.
Oh, I got you.
And they did it. Yeah, look. Everybody saying I'm right. It is the whole doc. Whoa. Can you believe it? It's the 80s. What else did they have to do?
I mean, I look at
go
it like
play Pong.
I look at it like Michael Jackson during that era. People were going to do whatever the hell he asked them to do.
Michael Jackson did a song with Rockwell. He made Rockwell famous.
Rockwell.
Exactly. How we feel like that shit. He made that a hit, Jimmy.
Somebody, Rob Sanderson said, how did Jimmy feel about the Oilers losing to the Sabres? I'm going to reserve
He'd
judgment
have
on the Oilers.
Better if Lionel Richie rolled up and sang during it.
Yeah, I would have liked it better.
Jimmy would have been like, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm going to reserve judgment until the playoffs. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, man. KE775. Says if they're going Rollins, Reigns, Punk at Mania, should they have the stipulation that the winner gets a title match at SummerSlam to add stakes to it? Well, first off, that's like 4 or 5 months after, so no. But Jimmy, a lot of people are talking about, it's our thumbnail today, was this the right match for WrestleMania? I see a lot of people that have issues with the lack of stakes associated. So
I'm going to give my opinion and maybe you can confirm or deny if there's any truth to it.
Okay.
My opinion is Seth Rollins is in the match because there was nothing marquee for him to do at WrestleMania otherwise.
I think he's in the match, and personally, I think he's in the match because it makes the match interesting. He's got natural reasons to be in this, to have issues with the fellas that are
he does, no doubt. I agree. I just think Roman Punk one-on-one to me would be more intriguing, especially given the Paul Heyman element.
Possibly. To me, this is different than Io, Rhea, and Bianca. Like, they've been talking about Bianca and Rhea for so long that that's the story now.
Yep.
That Io is the afterthought.
Yep.
Even though she's champion. However, with Seth, Roman, and Punk, Seth has been an integral part of this. Like,
yes.
I mean, Seth is the one who did that interview with Nick Haldeman and buried Punk. Just buried him and really set the stage for, no, we don't like him here either type of thing. So I don't mind it. And I see a lot of people say, well, you got to add stakes. You got to add stakes. What happened to people not liking each other? What happened to that?
I mean, because it's a triple threat, you know, it's going to be no DQ because it's triple threat.
Exactly. So, it's going to be killer.
Yeah. Maybe the bloodline shows up or who knows what.
And something WWE doesn't like to do, especially on WrestleMania, it's such an evergreen show. They don't necessarily like to say, well, top contendership match. Because 20 years down the line, people probably won't remember that it's a top contender match, but they'll remember that the match happened type of thing.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. All signs always point to Roman winning, but if he were to lose, I guess somebody else can take the pin, I guess.
Mr. Straight Fire says, is Nakamura on a part-time deal? He's had a very uneven schedule the last few years. No, he is on, I mean, he's on a full-time deal. He worked, I think, 55 matches last year. He worked like 60 to 70 the year before. It's been pretty well even since the COVID years. But he's on a full-time deal.
His brother just passed.
It's somebody he considered a brother. There's a lot of people keep saying it is his brother. It's somebody he considered a brother to him. But also, dude's getting a little bit older.
Yeah.
He likes his surfing. He's 45 years old and signed a new deal last year. For some reason, there were people lying and saying that Wade Keller claimed that he was leaving. Wade Keller didn't say that. It wasn't reported. So wasn't the case. But listen, I'll tell you what the case was this past Sunday, Jimmy. 5 out of 5 lock picks on FightfulSelect.com for AEW Revolution. I'm going to tell you how you could have made some money, guys. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here to tell you about BetOnline AG. The highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, 25-plus year track record, safe and secure online environments, payouts in minutes, the fastest in the industry. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality, the earliest line so odds open before the competition, the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit, and we're talking on everything. Wrestling, they got it. MMA, they got it. Boxing, they got it. But hey, you know what? I know we're Fightful. We don't just live for that. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, racing, esports, anything you can think of. Not only that, this is exclusively where Fightful gets our lines from. If you hear us talking about lines on a prediction show or on our post shows, it is always from BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Hear a lot of you saying like, oh my gosh, how can they take bets on predetermined wrestling? Then go make your money, my friends. Go make that money. Hangman Page was an underdog. So if you bet on him, you made quite a bit of money. Jay Hudson says, SRS and Jimmy, thank you for grappling with grief. Well, that's a Jimmy project. He says, it has truly saved my life. When I faced the fear of losing my dad, grappling with grief became a powerful source of strength that saved me. So this person also sent me a very, very nice message last week and when I really needed it. And I just want to say I appreciate that. I know that was Jimmy's goal in creating that, was to help people that went through the types of things that he did. And Jimmy, it has helped an awful lot of people.
I appreciate hearing that from you, Mr. Hudson. Yeah, I created it because I lost my father and my sister within a 2-year period. And I needed to channel that grief somewhere. And so that's why I created it. We tell the stories of a lot of people who have dealt with grief in some form or fashion. And so check it out, Grappling with Grief or grapgrief.com.
I had is a younger cousin of the person that I spoke with you about on there, contacted me on Facebook and was very, very sweet. And they said, thank you for keeping her memory alive by talking about this. They said, because as years go on, less and less people talk about it. And that meant an awful lot to me. It meant a lot to me. Does Tony Khan watch WWE? If not, is he taking recs for people from his talent? Yeah, I'm almost certain he watches WWE. I mean, Triple H watches AEW.
Sure.
That's just the way that that goes. But yeah. Mr. Straight Fire says, Kathy Kelly was very confrontational with Gable. I've noticed she doesn't play dumb like other interviewers and shows more personality. Is that something she pushed for or the new regime? So here's my approach, my view of things. When you have a woman that's doing interviews that is literally Mensa level, can't portray her. Listen, it becomes pretty evident. Like if you ever have a conversation with this woman, like she's a very, very smart woman, and very smart people can play very dumb people or very non-observant people. But I think it's important to have people in these roles, especially if you're going to bury Dirt Sheets and anybody else, have somebody on your show as a broadcaster that can be looked at and saying, like, you can't get one over on her. You can't get one past her. I think that's very, very important to have.
Yeah, and I think she is portrayed in that fashion, but I don't think she's the only one. No. I don't think Jackie Redmond looks like an idiot. I think Renee Paquette, even when she was Renee Young in WWE, never did she look like an idiot. So I don't think Kathy Kelly's. Matter of fact, the last one I can really think of is Maria Kanellis, because she was booked to do that.
That was the way she was booked to.
Yeah. So otherwise, usually they're portrayed, I think, fairly legitimately. At least the women are.
I think they need to start doing that with referees as well. I think there needs to be referees that heels don't want because they know they can't get away with stuff. I think in AEW, if you are the Young Bucks as heels, you want Rick Knox because you know he ain't going to pay attention or enforce
shit. Yes.
You don't want Aubrey or Bryce because you know they're going to be on it. Or people that have certain tendencies, so to speak. That's what I would like.
WWE referees, and I'll speak for WWE particularly because I think it's different in AEW a little bit. WWE referees don't have a ton of notoriety compared to how it used to be. So it used to be, remember Joey Morella? Now, granted, he was Gorilla's son, but Joey Morella and Dave Hebner and Earl Hebner, everybody knew who these guys were. Jimmy Corderas, they knew who they were. And now you don't hear too much. I mean, they'll mention their name. You know, Jessica will get some attention a little bit. They'll mention their name a bit, but they don't have the notoriety. Do you remember years and years ago, and this is where I'm dating myself, Jesse Ventura hated Joey Morella. And if Joey Morella was refereeing a match, Jesse Ventura would call it out and bitch about it. It doesn't happen at all now, like never.
Jay Stone says, was at Roadblock last night. The energy was crazy. How about Taker endorsing Oba? That goes a long way, Jimmy. That goes
along about way. What do you think about Oba pressing Moose?
I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
It's a big dude, even to get on your shoulders like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. But I mean, that's why you got him, and he has lived up to every single thing that he has needed to. He's been incredible. He's been incredible. We've got Dante saying Swerve should beat Mox and hold it for a while. Then we get Swerve Darby, Swerve MJF, Swerve Lashley. I think this year, Dante, between Hangman, Ospreay, Omega, Swerve, MJF, gosh, all these people that you're mentioning in general, we're about to see an insane run of AEW. Things are looking promising. Is there anything like on the horizon that you look for and you're like, okay, this is looking good?
The kid that's impressing me the most lately is probably Kyle Fletcher, because Kyle Fletcher, and I don't know how to say this without sounding disrespectful, he looked like a Muppet, and he didn't and he didn't look he didn't look like a player. He didn't look like a player. He didn't look like a guy that could be a top guy. Shaves his head. Gets himself into incredible physical shape. He looks like, everybody compares him to a young Randy Orton now. He looks like a star. And obviously he can work. And so I think this is going to be a pretty big year for Kyle Fletcher. I mean, Will Ospreay's done a lot for him in their series matches. So I think he's going to have a big year.
Okada is also going to be, I think that it's time to see him kick it into the next year and to get what they paid for out of Okada as well. Because lately ain't been it. Paul Heyman on a pole or in a shark cage. I don't think those two will put him through the humiliation. I think it's a respect thing there. BL says, fantasy book, which Rock comes out on top? Final Boss, Corporate Rock, Hollywood Rock, or People's Champion? People's Champion took a lot of L's. Corporate Rock took a lot of L's. Hollywood Rock was pretty snooty, so to speak, and took some L's. So far, it's got to be Final Boss. He generally gets what he wants.
Well, that's the difference, is because he can get what he wants. Rock is on my list, and I want to ask you about a story I heard that should be unbelievable. It should be unbelievable, but it's not, because it's The Rock. It was a report that I believe you confirmed on Twitter, Sean. Is there any truth to the story that The Rock wanted Cody Rhodes to turn heel and Rock was going to be the babyface?
Well, Jimmy, if you subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, I told this story.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Yes, there is truth to that. Now, I want to make something abundantly clear, and you can go back and see our reporting. Where do I start? So the day before, Dave Meltzer tweeted and deleted something regarding this because he wanted to put it behind the paywall. I respect it, Dave. I had heard this and couldn't say anything because it would have absolutely burned a source. And then when Dave tweeted it, that person messaged me and they go, oh shit, Dave knows this too. Now, there are elements that Dave reported on Friday that I cannot confirm and that Brian Gewirtz claimed weren't true, like it happening last minute. If he thinks last minute is day of, no, that didn't happen. That
talking
about the Cena turn, correct?
Yeah.
Planned at WrestleMania, I had never heard that. But what I had heard was Cody had been pitched on a heel turn and passed on it, and then they went with John Cena. And it's also a big reason why when The Rock did, you know, the 1-2-3 throat slit, all that stuff, I was like, guys, first off, he wasn't doing this. He wasn't doing the John Cena thing. He was keeping it pretty ominous. That way he could refer back to it. But people were coming at me because I had said, oh, if you guys want to apologize for being jerks about me saying there was no firm plan then, feel free. Because that was not the plan at that point. John Cena turning heel was not the plan as of that point. I don't know when that element came together. I'm sure we'll find out more in interviews as John Cena is pretty transparent. But yes, Cody was approached about that.
You know what? Father Time is undefeated, right? Time catches up to everybody. And you look at, say, Vince McMahon. In the 80s, he was a promotional genius. By the early 2000s, not so much. The business is passing The Rock by. And I don't know how much of that could be ego-driven. I don't know how much
I don't
of that
think it is. They pivoted to do one of the all-time greatest heel turns. Like, I had a guy say, who's very fucking weird, by the way, say, you're only doing this to make The Rock look bad like last year. And I'm like, what did I report incorrectly about The Rock last year? They confirmed it all. I think the pitch is just a pitch. People pitch stuff all the time. But then pivoting and going to this, I think worked out great.
No, now it did.
I don't think it's passing him by. I think maybe his initial instincts aren't what they once were, but that's okay because it seems like he is willing to pivot to stuff that is very creatively satisfying.
Yeah, which is true. But Cody is the first wrestler in the last 20 years to be as close to John Cena as they've had. He's the first wrestler that's been the model employee, the model champion, draws a house, sells merchandise, great ambassador for the company. He's the first one they've had in like 20 years. Why the hell would you turn him heel now? And I'd be like, so you say it was pitched to Cody. Does that mean that Hunter was on board with it and went to Cody?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Still working to find that out.
I don't understand how that makes even a shred of sense why you would go to Cody with that now. Maybe they turn him heel later. Why on earth would you do that now? It makes no sense. And when I saw you confirm that report, the first thing I thought of is his ego's getting in the way because he wants to be the babyface. It's a stupid idea. Like, I don't understand how they would have thought for a second that would have made sense. Why do that to Cody now?
I mean, I don't think that's an ego thing. I mean, no, he would have been aligned with The Rock as a heel.
Oh, so Rock wasn't going to be the babyface.
No.
Okay.
He would have been aligned with The Rock as a heel.
It's still a stupid idea, but it's a little better in terms of The Rock.
I just think that I don't think it was a stupid idea, but it was a far less good idea than Cena turning heel.
Yes, Cena was a great
because idea. Then in 10 years when Cody does it, you've got another one of these moments.
Right.
And maybe it's with Cena. Maybe it comes full circle like that.
Maybe Cena be in his mid-50s, but
I mean like him doing like his own final boss element thing. Oh, like that's you got to hit.
Let me ask you this. My kid's taken care of today, so I can go a little bit longer.
Okay, cool. We got a few super chats. So
Let me ask you this. So next week, Raw's in Belgium, I believe. And Cena and Cody are both going to be there. What do you expect presentation-wise for John Cena? Do you have any vision what you expect presentation-wise for John Cena?
I'd like him to be in a suit. Not the jorts, not the all that stuff.
I think he's going to retire that now.
Until his babyface run out.
Until the babyface, yes, right.
And then he brings it back. I think that he should switch up the whole presentation. I think he should use the song Untouchables that he did years ago. I saw a lot of people say, oh, he should use Bad Man just because it says bad in it. No, that song sucks. It's not good. It doesn't represent heel, just represents I'm a badass. I think they should use Untouchables, or I don't even think Basic Thugonomics should be it. Like, it should be Untouchables.
Yeah. I agree. Is Rock scheduled? Because I haven't heard anything about him. Is he scheduled?
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that. I'm sure I'll hear it that day. I mean, I don't think we're getting the rundowns on some of these episodes because it'll be so early in the day. But yeah, we'll I'll see what I can find out.
It's gonna be very interesting.
Let's see here. Did you hear WWE will try to renegotiate with Peacock for the U.S.? Unpopular opinion, but I prefer Peacock to Netflix because it's annual plan. Yes, they seem to like that. And I know what WWE also likes is spreading out their TV deals. That's why they've got A&E, they've got Tubi, they've got Netflix, they've got USA, they've got Peacock. They got all this stuff. They like to CW. They want to make their product as visible on as many different platforms as possible. And also getting a piece of WWE is worth more as a result than if you said, oh, well, Netflix, you can just have it all. Because Netflix is going to want like some sort of all-encompassing discount deal. WWE wants to make that money.
It's also good to not put all your eggs in one basket either.
Sure. No. Mr. Acosta says, doesn't need stakes, just keep it three dudes hating. I agree with you, Mr. Acosta. Chi-Town Spurs says, do people not really remember that Swerve Christian had a pay-per-view match last year? Do we need to see that again? He should beat Mox. I am completely with you, Chi-Town Spurs. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's how this briefcase thing came about. Was Christian got the loss and they were like, well, let's give him the briefcase to keep him hot as a result of that. I don't need to see that again. Don't need to see it again.
I want to see what's that over squash Mox.
Yeah, I would love that too. Yes. I would love that too. There are some matches because I mean, that is Swerve is as AEW as it gets. So that's what I think should happen. Sting should have squashed Hogan at Starrcade 97. Like there's a lot of matches like that just should have been squashes. Hey, what's that over there? Says looking forward to the build to Athena Mercedes as well as the Billy Starks match. Got some more coming on this possibility to FightfulSelect.com this week. If you guys are interested, been poking around about that one for a little while. And FightfulSelect.com today has news on some AEW title related stuff and a possible big match that could be en route. Josh Mansfield says Rock still jelly over Cody last year, taking his own match and making himself turn heel. That's why Rock wanted Cody to turn and ruined Cody. Bad way. Nah, I don't think so. I think at this point I think everybody wants to be loved, but this final boss character is very good. Like I like it. It's just, I know a lot of people are like, well, why isn't he heel? Why isn't he this? Why isn't he that? I'm willing to at least give him the benefit of the doubt in seeing how this plays out. Love for Boost says on CVV, Ospreay says he wants the title this year. Do you think he gets his win back against a champion Swerve at All In or later in the year? Later in the year, I have heard some vague ideas for All In, of which are very, very good, mind you. The card that I have heard is, I think that would be, a natural match to follow up on. But yeah, Josh Mansfield says, how is Bengals free agency going? At least we got Miles back. You mean Miles Garrett? Listen, that team has ran so stupid, the Browns. That's the only thing that gives me hope is at least we're not the Browns. The Bengals need to sign their big three back immediately, and they need to get it done. They cost themselves over $15 million. 15 $1 million.
Did you ever buy Bloody Guerrero?
I sure did.
So I know you're not a fan of Bengals management. Blue Jays management is right there.
Oh, I know.
They're right there with the Bengals. Embarrassing.
I know. Patrick the Heel says, when are Chemical X expected to return to NXT TV? Was there any reason they've been off for a month plus after their initial run? Actually, so when Shotzi was brought back, it was originally thought that she was just getting some reps to go back to the main roster. So, like, I was a little bit surprised that that was something that was brought up anyway. But no, I haven't heard any details on that, Patrick. I will work to find out, though. But guys, leave a thumbs up. FightfulSelect.com. We would greatly appreciate if you guys would do that. It's $6 a month or $64 a year. Jimmy, anything you want to tell the people before we go?
Congratulations to Rusev and Lana, or I should say Miro and CJ Perry. Announcing that they have renewed their wedding vows. And I was posting on Twitter, now there's a chance Rusev and Lana return to WWE. There's a chance.
I think that's why that information came out. I think that was very intentional.
All I got to say is sometimes I like to say stuff hoping that it will come to fruition. Lana back in the business suit with the tight bun in her hair, back in the business suit. That was the best Lana. And maybe Rusev Day will get another shot. I know somebody that used to sing with him who's part of the TNA broadcast crew, I think, might be available. So I would love to see the return of Rusev and Lana. That would be great.
Guys, until next time, we're out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.